are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I'm covering the game of baseball. And you can see there where I'm covering the Atlanta Braves, which might become very pertinent here in a couple of weeks as we start to break down the NLDS. Also joining me, my co-host, Vinny Rutino. You can follow him on Twitter simply at Vinny Rutino and catch him as part of the pre- and post-game show in the postseason for Valley Sports Wisconsin. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts so that you get notified whenever we post a new episode. And if you're new, just want to remind you or let you know that we post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. So plenty of content out there for you to get geared up for the postseason. Today, we have a lot to talk about, even though things are pretty much wrapped up and things should be pretty quiet leading into the postseason. Had some huge news on a Wednesday with Devin Williams injuring his hand. We'll talk about all of that, get into his potential replacements and may have seen one of those guys in Wednesday's game. So certainly want to break that down, talk about Hauser's outing as well, and really just focus a lot on the bullpen and where the Brewers go from here. But Benny, let's start with that Devin Williams news. I was honestly not paying a lot of attention during the day-to-day, had a lot of work going on, still in the process of moving houses. And next thing I know, I see a tweet, and it's basically the first tweet I saw was Devin Williams, you know, apologizing, saying it was all on me. And I had no idea what happened. So I like frantically start scrolling through the Twitter feed and find out that he essentially drank too much after the celebration on Sunday, got into an argument or got upset. I have to go back and read his exact quote here in a minute, punched a wall and fractured his hands, and now will be out for the entire postseason. Benny, before we really get into, you know, what this means, the significance of it, I mean, just your thoughts on, you know, what happened here with Devin Williams and what went down. And you ever seen anything, you know, just crazy like that before?
Look, we were talking offline. We talked about Waskar Noah breaking his hand, punching a wall. I mean, I saw a guy not get out of an inning in the fall league when I played back in the fall league back in 2006 or 2007, I think, who didn't record an out. His last outing of the year, punched a wall, broke his hand, was out like 3 months. I mean, guys punch walls for some reason. I don't quite get it. I don't know if he got in an argument or what happened. I think all we know is that he was upset and punched a wall. That's all we heard. So, yeah, I mean, obviously a big blow to the bullpen. I don't know how to spin this one to be positive. At the end of the day, the team's going to have to step up and place it and kind of replace his production from an injury. And they've done that consistently all year. They've won without Devin Williams in the bullpen at times during the year. So Boxberg will have to step up. I think, I don't want to steal your thunder. I know that you're probably going to get into some of the replacements, but Ashby's going to have to step up as well. So, definitely a blow to the team. The eighth inning was on lockdown with Devin Williams. So, I mean, the game was very, very short when you have Devin Williams and Josh Hader in there. So it's a huge loss.
Yeah, for sure. And I want to read the quotes from Adam McAlvey, make sure I'm getting this correctly. This was a tweet from him earlier, not exactly a direct quote, but he said, Devin Williams being placed on the 10-day IL with a fractured right hand. He told us he had too much to drink after Sunday's celebration, got upset about something, and punched a wall with his pitching hand. He will need surgery. Devin Williams said, if I could take it back, I would. And then another quote from Devin Williams, but this is the first thing that I saw about it. Devin Williams said, I'm pretty upset with myself. There's no one to blame but me. I feel like I've let my team down, our coaching staff, our fans, everyone. I know how important of a role I play on this team, and a lot of people count on me. And Vinny, I mean, that's, you know, exactly right and the right things to say. just a really weird position. I mean, you're celebrating. I don't know really what there is to be upset about. The whole situation just seems really odd. We'll probably never get the full story here, but I mean, this is just such a, again, I hate to make assumptions not there in situation, but really just a boneheaded decision going into the postseason. You're one of the biggest pieces of this team, and you do something like that that could potentially cost your team a World Series. Because, I mean, let's be honest, I know it's a setup man, an eighth inning guy, but this could potentially, you know, mess up the Brewers' chances of winning a World Series.
It really could. There's nothing really else to say other than this is so unfortunate. I mean, it just it's almost like I don't know, he's as valuable as anybody else on the team at this point, right? I mean, he's as valuable. I mean, with the exception of the big three starting pitchers. But I mean, you could almost make a case that in the playoffs, an eighth inning setup guy that is locking down the eighth inning is as important as some of those starting pitching, because we've come to learn that the bullpen is ultra important in the playoffs. You're playing really close games. You're playing one, two run games, whatever. And you have to shut down the other team. You need strikeouts in big spots. You need to come in with inherited runners with less than two outs and be able to punch guys out. And that's what Devin Williams has been able to do all season long. And I mean, this one is unfortunate. Again, Craig Counsell's been talking about all year how they've been able to kind of rise to challenges and focus on the next challenge at hand. They're going to have to focus on this next challenge at hand without their eighth inning guy. And they'll rise to the occasion. It's just definitely a blow to their, you know, their chances to win the World Series.
Yeah. It's crazy. You bring it up, you know, talking about guys that you really just can't lose right now. And I was just thinking about it in my mind. When you think about this Brewers team and players, they just cannot lose right now. I think if I went to go, you know, rank them, players they can't lose, you know, it'd probably be Burns, Woodruff, Hader, Willie Adames, Eduardo Escobar, and then maybe Devin Williams. And I don't know. And
Peralta's in there. Peralta's up there. Freddie.
Yeah. Freddie. Well, I didn't necessarily miss him. I thought about him, but I think the Brewers could get by with two dominant starters. I mean, they'd have to be great every time out, but I think you could still win the World Series with those two, especially with the way Lauer has pitched. But I think that, you know, Freddie's obviously very important, and you can certainly, you know, argue those rankings. But when I was going through there, I was getting on down the list before I even thought about Christian Yelich, Vinny. And if you would have told me that at the beginning of the year, you would have thought I was crazy. But I mean, he right now ranks, you know, on down the list in terms of guys that are invaluable for this Brewers team right now. And I don't know really what that says about Yelich or what that says about this Brewers team at this point. And I don't really know if that's a question or not, but just feel free to comment.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Yelich has not really produced and played the way that we've been accustomed to watching him play. Even his days in the with the Marlins, he's been not the same guy. However, you know, I guess there is no however. He just hasn't been the same guy this year, right? Yeah. So that's just it is what it is. However, he still has been a piece to this winning team, right? He's been able to get on base. He's been able to play pretty good defense out in left field. He's been stealing some bases. He run the bases well. He's hit some key homers at times. But yeah, so you're right. But however, he is a starting player on – he is an everyday player on this Brewers team, who is one of the best teams in the league. So you can just kind of take that to the bank in terms of Yelich, you know, with what Yelich has been able to do this year.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back, and we'll talk about a Wednesday's game, which was a win, 4-0 win. I forgot to mention that up top. So we'll talk about that, some of the pitching performances in – that one, and obviously we'll talk about Aaron Ashby and how his role could be improved here going down the last week and into the postseason. Hey Brewers fans, Jake Mastriani here with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about, and that's Get Upside. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free GetUpside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Use promo code BASEBALL and get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using GetUpside. Just download the app for free and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back, and there's no catch. The cash back gets added right into your account. So you can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code BASEBALL to get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code BASEBALL. All right, Vinny. So getting into Wednesday's game, again, a 4-0 win over the Cardinals. We talked about, you know, Hauser coming into this game and it really meaning something for him. Hasn't been great his last couple times out, but, you know, it's been good against the Cardinals, had a complete game shutout earlier in the year. So this was a big game for him. And, you know, he did what he had to do. I wouldn't say it was a great outing. This outing didn't really change my mind or the perception of him at all. I mean, 5 innings, 3 hits, 2 walks, no earned, 1 strikeout and 67 pitches is certainly great. You know, again, did what he needed to do against this Cardinals lineup who didn't have Edmund, didn't have Tyler O'Neill starting, didn't have Nolan Arenado, you know, 3 of their top 5 hitters in the lineup from Tuesday. So, I mean, did what he should have done with this lineup, but only 3 swings and misses on 29 swings that the Cardinals took against him. I mean, that just, that type of pitching doesn't really have a lot of success in the postseason. So again, Vinny, for me, while this outing, you know, looks great on paper, I don't think it really swayed me back into thinking that he deserves a start over Eric Lauer in the postseason.
I don't know. I agree. But not because Adrian Hauser hasn't been pitching well. Adrian Hauser has been pitching phenomenally. Mm-hmm. Eric Lauer has just been that good.
Right.
Eric Lauer is 14th or something, or even better at this point in the league in ERA. And that's after starting with like a 5 his first few outings, right? So, I mean, he was not good to begin the season, especially after that Detroit start back on June 9th, I believe it was. But Adrian Hauser has been really good. 12 ground balls tonight, so that's a lot of ground balls. He's just got an elite sinker, right? And he's been able to continue to kind of hone it in, hone his ability to command the sinker. And command his other stuff. I don't think he was as sharp as he's been tonight. You know, but at the end of the day, he is very good. He's turned himself into a very good starting pitcher. A lot of teams would covet this guy. This guy would be pitching game 2 for a lot of teams in the playoffs right now. So the fact that the Brewers may not even have room for him in the starting rotation is a good problem to have. But I mean, he's been pitching great. I love Adrian Hauser at this point. But yeah, I think he is the odd man out.
Yeah. Certainly no slight at Adrian Hauser, you know, with my comments, I've been on a big, you know, proponent of his all year long. You know, he was my guy coming into the year that I thought could be a huge difference maker. And he has been. It's just the Brewers have a wealth of good starting pitchers and, you know, he is a contact guy. So it, you know, it makes sense that he's not getting a lot of swings and misses. Like you said, he has that good sinker baller, you know, teams are going to put balls in play against him. You just have to hope he has a good defense set up behind him and that those balls aren't sneaking through any holes. But again, I just think that type of pitching is a little bit scary in the postseason. And again, it's really just been in the last couple of weeks, I think for me and Vinny both, where we've turned the corner and said that Lauer has won the opportunity to start a 4th game, you know, should the Brewers go with 4 starters. So, you know, again, Hauser, like Vinny said, Hauser's been really good all year, a really good outing here. So not taking anything away from that. I just didn't think this outing really changed my mind as far as, you know, should he start game 4 if needed over Eric Lauer. And then just on the offensive side of things, really quickly, good to see Willy Adames back out there. Vinny, this, you know, I was very concerned yesterday's podcast. We talked about it. I was very concerned with Adames getting scratched, but my concerns are immediately alleviated with him being back out there tonight. If they thought it was serious at all, he would not have been back in the lineup tonight. So, Vinny, I would say I am feeling much better about that at this point.
I agree. I just think at the end of the day, you definitely want to have a healthy Willy Adames. So be as precautious or as cautious as you can be with him. But yeah, I mean, any kind of discomfort whatsoever, soreness, he is not playing for 3 days at least. But yeah, he's right back in there. So obviously nothing to worry about. He might be more important than Woodruff at this point in terms of winning the World Series and having him healthy. You just have to rely on that defense at shortstop. And then obviously the offensive production has been very impactful all year long. So I would rank him second behind Corbin Burnes at this point.
Yeah, no, I think I had him third there. I mean, he's the top, most invaluable position player in my mind for sure. For what he does, not really just offensively, but just what he does for the entire team, the entire lineup, when he's out there, what he does for the defense, when he's at shortstop, when you're looking lineup wise, to me, he's the most important player for this Brewers team, which is why I was so concerned when he got scratched from Tuesday's game. But it's why I feel so much better that he was back out there right away on Wednesday. So feeling much better about Adames at this point. He was able to pick up a hit in the game as well. Offensively, they got a home run from Vogelbach and Pena late to kind of pull away in this one for the 4-0 win. Just really not much going on the Cardinals side of things. And you got to keep in mind, they just clinched the postseason. They were probably partying a little bit last night as well. Didn't exactly give their A lineup. So you got to keep that in mind when evaluating this game. But let's get into Aaron Ashby, because I think this is really the talk of the night, the highlight of the night, especially with Devin Williams news. Ashby comes in for the eighth inning. He actually came back out for the ninth inning, which is fine. But he could have the opportunity here to become that setup guy to replace Devin Williams. 2 innings, no hits, 1 walk, no earned, 5 strikeouts. Vinny, just, I know we've talked about Ashby a lot this year, but one of your favorite guys. But, your thoughts on him and him potentially replacing Devin Williams as a setup guy, do you think he can do it right now?
I think they'll probably turn to Boxberger in the playoffs, but I think Ashby will be the guy to bridge those guys. And if Boxberger stumbles at all, I think Ashby will probably be the next man up. I mean, the stuff is just too good. And he's throwing way too many strikes for him not to. And the league doesn't really know who he is yet. So, I mean, it's a 98-mile-an-hour sinkers, and then it's nasty, filthy 88-mile-an-hour changeups, and then 85-mile-an-hour sliders. I mean, it's just really, really good stuff. You just don't see this kind of stuff. It's setup closer type stuff. It's elite starting pitching type stuff. I mean, he'll eventually be a starting pitcher, but I think he'll probably bridge. He'll be the bridge guy in the playoffs between the starting pitcher and Brad Boxberger in the eighth. But like I said, if Box stumbles at all, or if he doesn't look as sharp going into the playoffs and pitching in the playoffs, I think they'll probably turn to Ashby to kind of flip those roles.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good call there. I hadn't really thought about that aspect of it, but yeah, it makes a lot of sense just to put Boxberger into that eighth inning role and then just kind of figure it out with Ashby and Cousins and Strickland probably for those sixth, seventh innings. That probably becomes your core of relievers in the postseason now without Devin Williams. And I thought Ashby was really good. Obviously the stats look really good when you look at Ashby, but just kind of breaking down what I saw from him, really that slider was his best pitch. Got a lot of swings and misses on it. Got 7 swings and misses on the 11 swings the Cardinals took against him, 4 of them coming on that slider. The curveball was good too. He's able to get that over for strikes, get ahead in the count. The only concern I had with him tonight, Benny, particularly in the eighth inning, was just the fastball command. I mean, he was spiking those pitches. He was even spiking the changeup too. He might have been a little bit amped up, playing in front of his home crowd. I think he's from the Kansas City area. So maybe a little bit amped up there coming out in the eighth inning. But that was really the only concern I saw with him, was the command of that fastball, that sinker.
You certainly see that when he does get hit, it is when the sinker is in the middle of the plate. He's got to start it middle and let it work to the bottom edge of the zone and the corners. That's when he is most effective. But yeah, I mean, at times when the command is bad, he makes mistakes over the middle. And certainly he's got to be in the zone too. I mean, he can't be spiking pitches and things like that, which I have seen him do in the minor leagues, but he usually just kind of makes the quick adjustment and is able to get back in the zone. So hopefully that is the version of Ashby that we see in the playoffs.
Yeah, because the other thing that concerns me too a little bit that I saw tonight is just wasting a lot of pitches, getting ahead of batters and then, you know, throwing non-competitive pitches, you know, trying to strike everybody out, which he essentially does. But that concerns me a little bit in the postseason when you got, you know, hitters who are going to be locked into every at bat and may spit on some of those pitches outside the zone. So again, I'm being nitpicky here. I love Ashby just like everybody else does, but that was the only thing I saw from his outing on Wednesday that just concerns me a little bit is just wasting too many pitches. He ended up throwing, I think, 39 pitches in those two innings, threw a lot in that eighth inning where I thought the command really got away from him. But I think he has a chance. You know, we've talked about it for a while now. We both have thought he has the opportunity to be a real weapon in the postseason with the electric stuff that he has, the strikeout stuff that he has. You know, again, it's been one of the keys I've been talking about for a while now that I'll be watching down the stretch. Hopefully he'll get another outing or two in the regular season, getting geared up for the postseason. But I think with, you know, Williams going down, I think Ashby is certainly someone to watch who could become a big factor in that seventh, eighth inning, maybe even coming in the sixth inning and pitch the seventh inning as well, going multiple innings there. I think he's somebody who could become a really key piece of the bullpen in the postseason. All right, we'll take another break, and then we'll come back and wrap up this episode looking forward to Thursday's game. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's gearing up towards the postseason. You got NFL and college football in action as well. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, NFL, and UFC MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit using the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This episode is also brought to you by our friends at rockauto.com. There are so many different makes and models of automobiles these days. It's impossible to stock all the parts your car will ever need in your traditional chain store. So why worry with the hassle of answering a bunch of questions about your car and just hoping they have the parts you need when you have the inventory of rockauto.com or right there in your pocket? You can pull them up on your cell phone, find any make and model of any kind of auto parts that you need. And there are so many different reasons to maintain your automobile these days, but the biggest one is obviously to save money. Why would you choose to spend 30, 50, sometimes even 100% more for the exact same auto part at a chain store or new car dealership? They have everything you need from brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. So go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your vehicle, and do us a favor, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Lavinny, not going to get in much into Thursday's game. We've got Anderson versus Happ on the mound. It's a meaningless game for both sides, really. I'll be honest, I don't even know if Anderson makes the postseason roster, but Brewers did snap the Cardinals streak, so that's fun. But I wanted to get into the rotation the rest of the way because I think it's very interesting the way that Council is doing here, and I really don't agree with it. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it. But the rotation the rest of the way is going to be Brett Anderson, Eric Lauer, Corbin Burns, and to be determined on Sunday. So you'll notice the absence of Freddy Peralta and Brandon Woodruff there. He did say Peralta will pitch at some point over the weekend, I'm assuming out of the bullpen, and Woodruff is unlikely to pitch until the NLDS. Vinny, I'm not a fan of this decision at all by Council to just not start Peralta or Woodruff. I can maybe see it a little bit with Peralta, but I just don't like the idea of these guys who are, you know, used to going out there every 5 or 6 days. I know the Brewers have had a six-man rotation a lot of the year, and really having them go, you know, almost 2 weeks between starts here, I'm afraid that could, you know, cause a little bit of rust when we get to the NLDS, which again doesn't start until next Friday. So, I mean, you're going to have almost, you know, 2 weeks time between starts for Woodruff here. I just don't understand why you wouldn't at least put him back out there, let him throw 50, 70 pitches and get him geared up for the postseason. What do you think about this decision with the rotation the rest of the way?
It's a tough spot to be in if you're Council, right? I mean, because they've been kind of going on this weird rotation all year. Weird is not the right term. It's a different type of way to think about how to start these guys and how to limit their innings, and then also give them proper rest or extra rest is what they've been doing. So they're giving them extra rest. Woodruff was like down to 92 some pitches last night. I don't have an issue with it. I think Brandon Woodruff's type of guy and Freddie Peralta are both the types of guys that can handle this in terms of being, you know, having the long layoff and then being able to come back out and compete and be sharp. I am a little bit concerned with Freddie in terms of getting into, you know, this getting through the first inning. Once he settles in and gets through the first inning, he should be okay. But I don't have a problem with it. I'm sure there's a reason for it that we aren't privy to. And then there's probably, I'm not so concerned about the rust factor. I do like the idea of having these guys fresh for the playoffs.
Yeah, and I'm sure I'm just overreacting to it as a fan, and it may not mean anything in the end, but just as guys who are creatures of habit, I mean, to go that long without, you know, pitching, and then you're trying to gear them up to get them ready to throw 100 pitches potentially in a postseason game, that just it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to have them sit for that long and then have them all of a sudden go out there and throw 100 pitches, especially Peralta, who I feel like has kind of been jerked around a lot since coming off the IL. The last time really hasn't even gotten his pitch count up there a ton since coming back. So, I'm sure I'm overreacting to it a little bit, but we'll see when it comes postseason time. Hopefully there isn't rust there. I know Woodruff normally struggles a little bit, you know, Peralta too out of the gate. But once they get past that first or second inning, they're usually lights out. So hopefully they're fresh, ready to go. Hopefully this pays off for Council and is the right move. But thought it was definitely worth mentioning, worth talking about there. They announced that on Wednesday. But that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Follow me at ShortstopBall and Vinny at Vinny Rattino. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we'll talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.